There is so much sadness in this reading today, and so much glory. It's a stunning story. And Frederick Buechner, who is one of my favorite theologians, says that in stories, there is the truth. But the truth cannot be contained by them. And neither can our creeds or our doctrines. They cannot completely explain the truth of what Jesus did in the life that he led. It's an amazing truth that Jesus came and fulfilled the promise that God made to God's people, a promise of new life and hope forevermore. Amazing, isn't it, in the world we live? And it's so often so sort of, it can be depressing in the world we live. There's so many things that we see on the media that frighten us, or leadership that just makes us feel discouraged from day to day. And then there is new hope. The truth that Jesus came and stood before Pilate, and Pilate said, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus said nothing. He said nothing because in the silence was the truth. Jesus was brought into Jerusalem by the crowds cheering him, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." And then they realized that he wasn't who they thought he was. They misunderstood him from the very beginning. Even his own followers, who had seen him do miracles, amazing miracles, and calming the storm and healing people, the blind, and feeding the poor with food that enriched them and made their lives whole. They followed him and lived with him from day to day, and they saw and they proclaimed, Peter in particular, proclaimed who he was. And then he went before Pilate, and they misunderstood who he was. The people who proclaimed his arrival into Jerusalem with hosannas, "Come heal us, Hosanna in the highest, come healer of the nations," the one who was proclaimed in the Old Testament, the one who was going to lead us out of injustice and oppression, they expected someone to come riding in on horseback or more than a colt. They expected a savior who was a warrior. They misunderstood Jesus. And then there were the leaders of the temple who, they were frightened. You see, Jesus had become dangerous. He could be dangerous because the leaders in the temple had a comfortable life with the Romans. They kept the peace, after all, and anyone who was thought to be a disturber was crucified. And so it kept this balance where they didn't have to worry about the temple running smoothly and things happening. And so when Jesus came and said the temple was being misused and abused, and he was angry, it frightened them. And they thought he'd come as the warrior king who would save Jerusalem and destroy it at the same time. And then the portrait painted in Mark of Pilate is that he was twisted by the leadership, that he was willing to give in to them, and it was their fault that Jesus was going to be crucified. And he denied any culpability. In another story, we see him washing his hands of the whole business. It wasn't his fault that this man was going to be crucified. I can blame it on the Jews. And of course, the way Mark wrote his story, about 60 AD, he wrote it in a troubled time. You know, there was a great revolt in Jerusalem 10 years later. And they were afraid of an uprising. And so Jesus was becoming a danger to everyone. And after all, if he was going to admit, he didn't deny it, so he had to admit it, that he was king of the Jews, then he was also a revolutionary and was rebelling against the proper order of the Pax Romana. Because the only king or son of God was Caesar himself. Pilate was a cruel, horrible man who delighted in people suffering, who delighted in sending people to the cross killing them in the most agonizing way, and especially if you were a rebel or a revolutionary. So Jesus was a dangerous man because what he preached was peace and justice for all people. And the only justice in the Pax Romana was that justice that Caesar and his legions brought to any country or any part of the great lands that they controlled. So we have Jesus being taken to the governor's palace, and everyone, even his best friends, deny him and run away. But Jesus had come with a mission from God. He had come to give us a new path of hope and love and encouragement for all those who had no hope. He'd come to serve the world and to serve us. He was not on an upward path to prosperity and wealth. He was on the downward path to servanthood and death, and he knew it. And he knew if we understood the message of his life, that especially in this week, and my challenge of homework for you all this week is don't recycle your bulletins here this Sunday. Take them home and read Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians, especially that first chapter. Read it and think about it. Think about the people that you have seen in your life who have reached out to you so that you might be free, that your lives might be free. And think about what's going on in this world today. And you know, we often say that a little child shall lead them, and it's both painful and joyous to see the leadership of the young people across the world. 800 groups of people, more people gathered in the square in Washington yesterday than had been there to object the Vietnam War. And it was all because they wanted peace and justice for everyone, young and old, black and white, and all the immigrants, because they don't want war in their country or around the world anymore. And they have given notice. They have come to serve, and they have come to change the world. We know it's happening. They, I think, will lead the church. It's very exciting. And Jesus came, and he was dangerous and misunderstood, and they killed him. And that's the end of the story for today, but we know there is more. Because the story goes on in our lives, in everyone's life in the world, whether they know it or not, that God is with them. And the story is in the struggle for truth and justice, wherever it might be found or created, in the oppressed nations of the world, including our next door neighbors. It is possible. And Jesus came to empower us. As we sit in these pews today, Jesus came to empower us to go out into the world and live as he lived, and to remember those who have given us that courage in our lives, that it may be carried on into the next generation and the next, until all people have hope and justice, and God is with them, as God is with us. Thanks be to God.